Blog Talk Radio.
Up in paradise up above, if you would tell me I'm the only one that you love, life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Hello, hello again, shaboom, and hoping we'll meet again.
Oh, life could be a dream, if only all my precious plans would come true. If you would let me spend my whole life loving you, life could be a dream, sweetheart. Now every time I look at you, something is on my mind. If you do what I want you to,
baby, we'd be so fine.
Oh, life could be a dream if I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love, life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Shaboom, shaboom, ya la 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 la, shaboom, shaboom, ya la 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 la, shaboom, shaboom, ya la 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 la, shaboom. I look at you, something is on my mind. If you do what I want you to, baby, we'd be so fine. Life could be a dream if I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love,
life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Hello, hello again, shaboom, and hoping we'll meet again, boom, shaboom.
Hey, dum na lang na lang na lang, shaboom ba do ba do ba do ba be. Life could be a dream,
life could be a dream, sweetheart. Life could be a dream if only all my precious plans would come true. If you would let me spend my whole life loving you,
life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Do you shaboom shaboom? Do you shaboom shaboom?
Folks, they don't write songs like that anymore. And if anyone can tell me the year that song was written and by whom it was just sung by, would get a present from the EAL radio show. Anyone want to attempt to tell me the year, first of all? Guess. I'll take the decade.
Take a guess at 59.
How much?
1959.
Okay. You're
before
the
that.
Prize, Cecile, because it is in the decade of the 50s. It was 1954, and the song was first recorded on Atlantic Records subsidiary label Cat Records by the Chords. However, you just listened to, anyone want to identify the group that just sang that song? Don't tell me you folks are not old enough to have heard that song before.
Was it the Crew Cuts?
You won, George. Very good. Excellent. I think you're using your telephone song identifier.
No. No, I'm not. I swear, I'm not. But, I mean, I was like 7 or 8 years old when that song came out. So,
oh, okay.
But
You didn't have a ducktail haircut like most of the guys wore back in those days? The DA,
nah,
we call them?
Young.
Those guys listening tonight, they don't remember things like that. But the crew cuts were with Mercury Records, and it was number one on the Billboard charts when they came out with that song. Others sang it, but that's the most popular version.
Was it
back
by
to you,
James
Jim.
Keys?
Yeah, that's exactly right, John. It was actually James Keys, Claude Feaster, and Carl Feaster, and Floyd McRae, and James Edwards all wrote that song. And but you're right, James Keys, his name was first, by golly, and they all had a hand in writing, Shaboom, Shaboom, la 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 la.
Remember we had one sad note concerning the music you were going to speak about tonight.
Yes, would you tell us what that was?
Well, last week I think we jinxed Percy Sledge with your song When a Man Loves a Woman, because unfortunately poor Percy passed away the following day, I heard on the news.
I think it was 5 hours after we played that song.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and golly, I don't know whether the crew cuts are still alive or not, but hope they're not listening.
Hey, also that song was sung in 1954.
That's right, 1954. I gave credit to Cecile because she came within the decade. No one else got that. So you have to be pretty fast with this crowd here, Al.
I see.
thanks for telling us the exact date that it was recorded, and it was 1954 when it was published by the Chords. And back to you, Jim. Let's start with the program. I'm sorry to take up all your time.
Yada-da-da, da-da-da, yada-da-da, shaboom, shaboom. Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. Here we are at the radio voice of Eastern Airlines, becoming live every Monday at this time. We're glad you're with us, as you can tell. We enjoy talking about our favorite company, Eastern Airlines. Our only purpose is to bring you news of Eastern, both past and present. You may also hear a song or two selected by our producer, the Honorable Eel, that enjoyed popularity during the days Eastern 2 was popular as the preferred airline by the traveling public, so much so that it became the largest passenger-carrying airline in the free world. Get that! The legacy of Eastern is carried forward by people like you tuning in each week to share these memories. Those regulars on the show each week try to do exactly that, sharing those memories. Neil, who do you see there on your producer's board right now?
Well, right now I see a maximum board lit up here, and let's see, I'm going to start up there with you, George Jen, up in, I guess you're the furthest north and on Long Island.
Well, you sent that bad weather up here, and it was like the monsoons all day today, Neil.
Okay, somebody's in the background with you. I guess I'll have to start setting off microphones here. And Jim will tell us about how to talk tonight on the show in just a minute. But we want to check with everyone. I don't know whether Frank, you're Segnor, are you with us tonight, Frank? No, Frank's not here. And then we'll skip on down to John Roos. Are you with us tonight? John's not here. These are regular folks that are on our show. Listeners, and so we'll come on down to Steve Thompson and John Reinhart over in the hills of North Carolina. Hello, guys.
Hi there, Neil. And I have a question for Jim when you get a chance.
Okay.
You mean yarada, yarada?
Well, I just want to know what you did with your money.
I'm buying silver, I'll tell you that.
Well, I can tell you didn't use it for singing lessons.
Oh, touche, me lo piquet. All right, enough of that, John. Straighten these guys out. John Reinhart, you're right next door to Steve Thompson.
Hey, Neil, how are you? I haven't heard the other weather reports, so I'll give you one. It's thundering
one.
Up and gray as it can be, but we're sitting out here on the sun porch looking out over the beautiful golf course and praying for sunshine.
Well, you should get it sometime tomorrow because the sun's going down at this time of night, John.
Yeah, but normally this time of night up here, the sun's still shining.
Oh, okay. You must be further west than I thought you were. Okay, well, let's skip on over to Gay. Gay, you're over in Hilton Head. Before we get to Gay, I need to come down just a little bit to Asheville, North Carolina, where Jill Cotton, the lovely Jill Cotton. Hello, Jill.
Hi, Neil. Well, I've got the sunshine, but I'll guarantee you when I get up in the morning, it's going to be foggy because we've had so much rain. But seeing a blue sky and having sunshine sure looks good tonight.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Hey, Jill, do you ever go up to Mars Hill? You ever go north up to Mars Hill?
Oh, yeah, I do.
That's where I went to college.
I know. That's your neck of the woods.
And Steve Thompson's got a connection there, too.
That's
okay.
Right.
And now we'll go across and see if we find Gay Harvey over in the Hilton area. Gay, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm here, and just it's same as the North Carolina weather. We're very soggy down here. The yard is just full of mud, so we're looking for some sunshine, too, waiting on it to come.
You know, a great thing happened there at Hilton Head this past weekend. Do you know what that might be, Gay?
It may have been the Heritage Golf Tournament.
And Jim Furyk won the championship, and Jim Furyk is right here living amongst those fortunate enough to be in Ponte Vedra, Florida, where our golden microphone rests. And we've been rooting for Jim for a long, long time, and he finally, after 4 years, came out of the drought that he was in. But, he played a good game. And now let's go over to Georgia, and we see Jim Graybill. Hello, Jim Graybill.
Hello, everyone. I guess I could take my seatbelt off. It's been kind of thundery, and there forecasts for all kinds of thunderstorms and tornadoes and everything else, but I think it's mostly passed now. So, anyway, it's good to be a good day.
Okay, very good.
What's that old saying? Anytime you can get up and you look down on the grass, it's a good day?
Yeah, that's right. And keep the blue side up, of course, if you're flying. And also, we come on down to me, which I guess I'm the next stop on my way south toward Cecile. And, wait a minute. I think we have a listener, might be a listener, right now, and I haven't identified Bill Joseph, but Bill, are you with us tonight? Nope.
Bill's still on his way to Denver.
Yeah, he's still on his way out to Denver, so he didn't get the message. And so we'll go on down to Chuck Albright, my next stop south. Chuck, how are everything at the Villages?
Well, we're just following in the footsteps of all the rest of the people here. We've had storms, we've had cloudy skies, and we've had rain. And 53 golf courses are not full. So we're looking for sunshine, and hopefully it'll clear up here in the next couple of days. We do need the rain for the grass. Back to you, Neil.
Yep, we sure do. Okay, well, let's go on down to next stop, since Bill Joseph has left the Tampa area for Denver area, we come to Cecile. No. Jim is just north of Cecile. Cecile's in Fort Lauderdale. Hello, Cecile.
Hi, everyone, and it finally rained. We desperately need it, so send us some rain down here. Temperature, I guess, is in the high 70s, but it's been hot over the weekend. It was like in the high 80s. Back to you, Neil.
Okay, now with Jim Hart finishing up our weather broadcast tonight. Jim, give it back to you.
Okay, thank you, Neil. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, West Palm Beach has had its fill of rain for the next 3 months, I think. Today we must have had something like 8 or 10 inches, and I'm glad, Cecile, that you got some down your way. It was unbelievable here. Thunderstorms, a lot of lightning and so on, and I'm just looking forward. I'll tell you, in the next few weeks, we're headed north to the island of Martha's Vineyard, where the spring has sprung, the flowers are out, the azaleas, the rhododendrons. Oh, God, I can hardly wait. Back to you, Neil.
Okay, I feel that excitement for you there, Jim. And
right.
Yeah, and okay, very good. Well, we've done our weather report. And
hey, Jim, what day is this month is summer going to be up there?
Yeah, what day?
What do you mean, what day? You mean what season?
And we have some listeners, guys. Al Jenkins, I think you checked in. You're from the Atlanta area. Hello, Al. Did I get it right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, very good. And you were in Atlanta. You worked there in Atlanta, based there in Atlanta?
Well, I started out in New York, went to St. Louis, went up to Chicago, came to Atlanta, went up to Jersey, went back to New York, down to Miami, back to Atlanta.
What, pass riding?
No, working.
We all love those C3 passes, Al.
Oh, they were 1 hour.
Okay. Jim, would you do the honors of doing a little housekeeping here for us tonight?
Sure I will, Neil. Yeah. I'll tell you what, if you've listened to our past shows, you know that we can be reached online during our live broadcast. Our numbers, once again, are 213-816-1611 or toll-free at 877-572-1861. Let me repeat those numbers, 213-816-1611 or 877-572-1861. And remember, when you call a show, make sure you press the number one button on your telephone if you wish to connect live with our show. Just as a reminder, to our listeners, you can tune us in by going to www.ealradioshow.com and click the arrow in the circle on the radio icon, or go to our sponsor, the Retired Eastern Pilots Association website, and clicking the radio show's icon on their homepage. Their site is www.repaonline.com. Okay, back to you, Neil.
Okay, Jim, and you know, I've been trying to get this Wright Cyclone 4360 engine out of the box, and I just can't get it out. It's a huge, huge engine. And folks, if you know the Wright Cyclone or either the Pratt & Whitney 4360 engine, it was the biggest reciprocating engine ever built, as far as I'm concerned. And it was in the B-50 bombers and after the B-29s and the B-36. And so big airplanes flew those big radial engines. And we wanted to have a new engine to start. And, boy, this thing sounds so powerful. but I just can't get it unloaded. So maybe by next week's show, I'll have it out of the box, and we'll have it on the test stand, and we'll start that engine. But right now, let's go back to the Old Faithful, and they are 2800 engine. So clear prop.
Clear prop. Clear.
How many of us remember that, Neil? Are you going to play another great song for us from yesteryear?
Yes, I will. One other thing about that 4360 engine, it had four banks of cylinders and seven cylinders per bank. Four times seven is 28 cylinders on that engine. So, golly, what a powerful engine and complex engine. But this
you needed
song,
an engine analyzer to find out which one of those cylinders might not be working right.
And most all of them weren't working right. But let's let this
Chuck
gentleman
remembers
here.
Chuck the engine analyzer, right, Chuck?
Yeah. Chuck doesn't know anything about round engines.
Oh, come on. Are you there, Chuck? He must have left.
He must have left.
I'm here. No, I'm still here. But I didn't work on that engine.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you ought to progress more into the
engine analyzers.
He doesn't know what an engine
that?
Analyzer is.
Oh, yeah, I know what it is. I just didn't use it.
Okay.
Oh. You mean you're so good you didn't need them?
Yeah, there you go.
No, I was good that I didn't work on the engine.
Enough of you guys. I want to hear somebody a little bit more soothing, so listen to this.
And now the purple dusk of twilight time steals across the meadows of my heart. High up in the sky, the little stars climb, always reminding me that we're apart. You wander down the lane and far away, leaving me a song that will not die. Love is now the stardust of yesterday, the music of the years gone by. Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely night.
Stardust was an American popular song composed in 1927 by Hoagie Carmichael. The lyrics were added in 1929 by Mitchell Parrish. Carmichael first recorded this song, originally titled Stardust, at the Janet Records studio in Richmond, Indiana. The song is a song about love, played in an idiosyncratic melody in medium tempo, became an American standard, and is one of the most recorded songs of the 20th century, with over 1,500 total recordings. In 2004, Carmichael's original 1927 recording of the song was one of 50 recordings chosen by the Library of Congress to be added to the National Recording Registry. Nat King Cole, who you're hearing now, is considered by many to be the best of the singers that sang this beautiful song.
In my heart, it will remain my stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain.
Now it's time for anybody to jump in and say whatever they want to say. I'm finished.
Neil, I have a question for you. I have a question about that song.
Yes, sir.
Did the Platters make a version of that also?
I think every singer that sang a tune sang that song, George.
Okay.
And I'm not certain, but I believe the Platters were among those that sang the song. Frank Sinatra, you name it. All love that song, and it was the most recorded song for a long, long time. And I'm sure songs of the Beatles, some of the other bands that played, probably surpassed that record. But for many, many years, it held the record. And what a beautiful song it was, and is.
It is. Yep.
I think one of the other people that made it famous was Nat King Cole.
Well, that's the guy that just sang the song.
There you go.
Well, I'll have to say one thing here, guys. In high school, I played a trumpet. In my senior year, I got a version of that song that I had to memorize to play. And one other thing, I still remember the notes on that very well.
Yeah. You know, I should have been born a disc jockey instead of going into flying as a career.
There you go.
I love
well,
this.
Neil,
I
think you want it, jockey.
Yeah, yeah. It's too late, Cecile. My life's about over.
I think you are a disc jockey. You are a disc jockey now. No, what I wanted to mention is Jim Hart had a great speaker at our luncheon, Eastern Airlines luncheon in Palm Beach. Jim, you want to talk about that? I thought she was excellent.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm writing a nice letter to her because her presentation about the Alzheimer's disease was out of sight, just fantastic. We have made strides, but the focus is now on the caregiver. And with people with Alzheimer's, I know I have some friends who have had the problem, and I don't think I'll ever have that problem, because I've got the Eastern Airlines radio network in my favor. And the other thing is, I drink a lot of milk. And if you take a look at some of the latest issues, it says, if you drink a lot of milk, you're in good shape. Okay, back to you, Neil.
No, back to anyone that wants to talk.
Well, I wanted
Neil.
To add to what, if I could add to what she said, in Palm Beach County, it's called Alzheimer's Community Care, and there's a grant for those in Palm Beach County that they pay. They go to your house, and they mainly help the caregiver because a lot of the burden is on the caregiver, and it has nothing to do with Alzheimer's Association, but it was rather interesting, and it's all free, and there's grants out there, and there's also tests that they conduct in Palm Beach County if you want to know whether your gene, if you're going to get Alzheimer's in the future. She said most people don't want to know, but there is a doctor in Palm Beach County that conducts tests free and tells you whether you're going to get it or not, and they are coming up with, if you exercise your mind, like there's puzzles, I can't remember everything else she said, but if you exercise your mind, it helps.
Like being on the Eastern Airlines radio network. That helps.
That's right. That's right. You do puzzles, it helps. But anyway, she was extremely interesting, extremely efficient. Her name was Karen Gilbert with Alzheimer's Community Care. So I just wanted to, if anybody wants any info, I'll be glad to email what she sent us.
Well, she might be a good
one. Thanks, Neil, giving that plug.
I'd like to have that. I've got a member of my family that has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's four years ago. my youngest daughter's husband.
All right, who is this? Neil, who's this?
Jim Graybill.
Jim Graybill.
Jim, okay, I'll email it to you, Jim. And if you're in Palm Beach County, we're very lucky and fortunate. But anyway, I'll email you, and she can guide you as to whatever. But it's unfortunately, it's a disease that they don't have a cure yet, but they're sure making major strides with all the help.
Yeah. And maybe she'd be good for a guest on our radio show.
She would be.
Well, I think she would, Neil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was excellent. Her presentation was flawless.
Very good.
The one thing I want you all to know is that Rotary International, I've been a member for 48 years, and I should say a governor for 48 years. I've been a member for over 55 years, and Rotary International has had for years a program to eradicate polio all over the world.
Jim.
And we started that in about 1985, and Bill Gates from Microsoft, would you believe, gave us $500 million, and he asked us to match it. We more than matched that amount of money, and it has eradicated polio except in the country of India. And unfortunately, the reason that didn't take place is that, I don't know whether it's religiously or what, but a lot of the Indian people are skeptical, and it will come to pass that they will accept it. Now, the new thing is to try to eradicate Alzheimer's. And the Rotary Club of Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, my club, has gone to the forefront with Rotary International, and one of our members, who is a recently retired CEO of the Mellon Bank in Pennsylvania, is heading this whole program. And once you learn, if you please watch for any indication or any information on what you hear or see regarding the Alzheimer's disease program and Rotary International. I was a governor, I think I may have told you, in 1979-80, and I've been a Rotarian for so many years. I just enjoy the camaraderie from that program and trying to help other people. That's what we're all about, is trying to help other people. Thanks, Neil.
Very
go
good.
Ahead.
Okay, Jim. I heard also Steve Thompson. Were you trying to get in there, Steve?
Yes, Neil, and thank you. For a long time, I have been interested in methods of getting young people to enter into flight training programs. And I have believed that there was a lack of programs, maybe affordable programs, to introduce young people in aviation business, especially flying airplanes. Well, there appeared yesterday in the Winston-Salem Journal, on the business section, two half pages of an article on a simulator operation in Kernersville, which is right between Winston-Salem and Greensboro, of a fellow who really, I guess, was kind of a mechanic for Piedmont Airlines and some other aviation companies here. And he built some flight simulators that he rents out to interested people. Now, he is struggling, and John Reinhardt and I went down and visited his facility today and talked to him about his operation. And he has six simulators, and it's a one-screen, 32-inch monitor simulator that he, of course, rents out at a very nominal fee, like $10 an hour. And he's struggling, and I think it could be put together with other programs to encourage young people and to learn to fly, because I think flying airplanes is a wonderful career, rewarding, and I would like for John to maybe explain to you the setup that we saw today. John, are you there? I saw somebody blowing up the road, two people blowing up the road in this thunderstorm that just went by, and I hope it wasn't you and Lynn.
Oh, no, we're still right here hunkered down in this, but friends out there in radio land, I have to tell you, I flew a glider today. I left the surly bonds of earth and went up into the sky in this beautiful airplane, sunny afternoon, and flew all around until my wing caught a tree and flipped me about four times back into the ground.
You got to be kidding.
Oh, goodness.
It was quite an experience.
Are you okay?
Oh, I'm perfectly fine. This was all on the simulator.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to send you flowers.
Oh, we thought you were in a real one.
No, but this guy's got
God
quite a nice...
simulators.
Yes, he's got quite a nice setup. He's got all the yokes, the foot pedals, screens, and you feel like you're sitting right in the cockpit of the airplane. I also flew a World War II plane in a little bit of a dogfight. I didn't do well with that either, but you can do all sorts of things with this. And Steve has a great idea that if this could be adapted to bringing in 12, 13, 14-year-olds to get them interested in flying airplanes, it would be wonderful.
It sure sounds
I don't think
like
I've
it.
Ever heard of a simulator for a glider. Is that something new?
It's a Microsoft simulator. It's a Microsoft glider.
Oh, is it? Okay. I've never seen that.
Steve, do they use this type of training for the CAP? Do you know?
I believe they do. Yes, because he said his 15-year-old son is going to solo or in the CAP program soon, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like a great I don't know what you would need to start a program like that up. Is there a pilot program already in existence now, or are you just thinking about doing something like this yourself in your area? What are you asking?
Well, I'm asking for some ideas because I would like to be able to put together a program that could be franchised or sold to fixed base operators, and along with the equipment. Now he is using Microsoft computers, desktop computers, and he has a stick and also a yoke that goes with it, and with the throttle quadrants and the rudder pedals. And I don't know how much money he's got in this, but I'm sure he's kind of done it on the come and
shoestring. Yeah. Is this a very mobile operation? He can take down and set up easily.
I don't know how easy it is, but it can be, and it's on like a little skid that's on rollers that he says he can just roll it out and put it into his van or his truck or
yeah.
Vehicle. Right.
One thing that comes to my mind right now is this career days. I don't know whether they still have career days in the junior high schools and the high schools now or not, but as you recall, they asked for different professional people to come into the schools and talk about opportunities in their particular field. And I wonder if this wouldn't be a good idea to bring to a career type of program, you know, in high school or junior high, or whenever they introduce thinking, student thinking about their careers and what they want to do. That's just a thought.
They still have speakers at school.
I'm looking at
Jim, I'm looking at
a simulator right here now on a computer.
The lady's going to talk over you, and that's Cecile. I heard her voice first.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. No, they still have speakers at schools because Charlie and I went and spoke about supply and demand, so that's not a career day per se. But I think Steve's friend's idea is excellent. I think it would be well received with teenagers. You could do something like they have Chuck E. Cheese and have branches out, and I bet it could be financed. Go in front of Shark Tank. But Shark Tank always wants to see revenue first. But I think it's a great idea because kids love that.
Yeah. Very good. Well, this is something. Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
I'm going to pursue it, and I will keep you posted as to what kind of progress or lack of it that I make, or that John and I make with this. So we'll keep you posted.
Let John do the selling.
Hey, Jim Graybill, I'm looking at a simulator right here now on the computer. Depending on how much you want to put into it, but it comes up with a chair and either a single screen, three screens. One you can be turned around at desktops and so forth and so forth. But that looks like a good deal to me.
Yeah.
Like you can make it as complicated or as simple as you want.
You know, Trade-A-Plane has lots of these small tabletop simulators. And I think anyone that's flown an airplane has heard of Trade-A-Plane. Trade-A-Plane started back in the 20s, I believe. And, golly, I did my share of advertising in Trade-A-Plane when I had a flight school in Atlanta. And but they're still around. As a matter of fact, interesting, it used to be Trader Tractor, and that was the first advertisement magazine that came out was Trader Tractor for the farmers. And then I guess one of the farmers got an airplane, or one of the owners of Trader Tractor, and started Trade-A-Plane in Crossville, Tennessee. And Trade-A-Plane is still one of the largest advertising media that you can put airplanes and all sorts of airplane components and navigation systems and you name it, you can find in Trade-A-Plane. And of course that's available now on the internet, so if you're looking for a particular airplane, you can always find it on Trade-A-Plane, and as well as simulators. And I think I've even seen a Boeing 727 simulator for sale on Trade-A-Plane. As a matter of fact, speaking of Trade-A-Plane, I'll be headed to Sun and Fun this week, Friday. I leave here and go down and meet with my brother in Lakeland, Florida, the home of Publix grocery store stores around the country. But Lakeland, Florida has the annual Sun and Fun. It's a week long, and we'll be finishing up the week when we arrive on Friday. And they have I think they have 500,000 people or more. I think one time they had 1 million people that went to that show for the duration of Sun and Fun. And I think it's about the second largest air show in the country besides Oshkosh. Of course, the EAA's air show that's put on in August. And this is the southern Oshkosh, if you will. And usually April of every year, and they have so many things to see and air shows and what have you, and so we're looking forward to that. And Trade-A-Plane, of course, is always there, and I'll look for some simulators for you, Steve, while I'm there.
Yeah, please do, Neil. Yeah.
And mention the National Commercial Museum of Airlines and why not? It's based in Atlanta, and they have several mock-ups. They've got a simulator that 1011 from Delta. They've got several Eastern, very old, before my time, simulators. And it's a very interesting place to go into and view what they're doing. And they do a lot with the movie industry in the Southeast.
Jill, have you been?
Yeah,
Jill, have you been actually to the museum there in Atlanta?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Okay. Do they have a I know that we dedicated, when I say we, the local chapter here in REPA, the Retired Eastern Pilots Association, when I was the editor of the magazine there, we had a collection, a large collection of Eastern memorabilia and also all of the magazines.
It.
Yeah, and we dedicated that to the museum. And I've been wanting to go and see how they're coming along with it, but they do have a building and a facility now, Jill?
Well, they're working on a new facility. And the movie Flight with Denzel Washington, a lot of the airline stuff was from the museum itself that they were able to use. It's a really interesting place to go into. You can kind of get lost in there. A lot of it was before my time, but my dad would have loved it because he was an Allison engine rep for General Motors. So it was like kind of going back into history with my dad when I went down to see it last December. But it's a really great place to view. They let me in the simulator of the 1011, which, you know, shoot. I flew the 1011 so much that and Adam, my husband, was co-pilot on it that, you know, it was like going home. And it was like, oh, wow, I'm comfy here, you know. But it really is a great place to go and see what they've got. And I think a lot needs, you know, they need more support. But I think they are growing. And then you've also, which is a dirty word, Delta, has their museum down there also that helps promote aviation. And now I've not been to their museum yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's a day's trip.
Yeah, that's right. Very good. Interesting about that. And I'll have to get up to Atlanta one of these days, where I lived for 27 years, I guess, of my life. And wonderful city. And have some good Delta friends that maybe I can take a simulator check ride again that are still flying with Delta, check captain. So that was a lot of fun back in those days. How about anyone else would like to put in their 2 cents?
Hey, Neil, it's George. When I had my book signing here on Long Island a few months ago, some people showed up there who I didn't know who they were. They were mostly former flight attendants who were based with Eastern here in New York, and they brought me a lot of memorabilia. I don't know if you remember the little plastic wings that we used to give to the children on the airplane, and also got an Eastern Airlines tie with the little Eastern symbol on it. And of course, I've saved it all, but it really brought back a lot of nice memories.
Yeah, one of the good memories, George, about those little plastic pins. my brother and I, in addition to going to Sun and Fun every year, we go to Sebring also for the Light Sports Aircraft Show. But during the time of the Light Sports Aircraft Show in Sebring, they have where we stay, where we run a condominium, and where we stay, they at a country club over there. They had in this particular event that we went to, they had these ladies that came to the golf course and golfed for 3 days. They had a package for lady golfers. And there were about 25 of these lady golfers that were down in the happy hour area, meaning the bar. And when Gary and I walked in, we saw all these ladies, and I guess they were probably in their 60s, somewhere around there. And
young ladies.
And, yeah.
Still young.
This is a funny story, I think it was. My brother thinks it was, too. So he always asked me, do I still have any of those plastic pins, Eastern Airlines pins? Because they saw I had a shirt on that night that had the Eastern Airlines logo on the side. And so one of them came over to my brother and I. We were just enjoying a beer. And they asked, you're Eastern Airlines. Is that airline still around? And I said, oh, certainly we're still around. I'm still here. And I said, as a matter of fact, I'm here to officially give everyone flight attendant status at your table. And she said, you're here to do what? And I had all of these. I don't know why I had them in my pocket, I had about 25 of those plastic pins. And I put that on her. She said, now I want you to put that on my shirt here. So gladly I put that on her shirt. And we wore about 25 new Eastern Airlines flight attendants that night. True story.
Well, I have to chuckle because a good flight attendant always has a beverage cart available and handy, and I've got one.
Very good.
So I can appreciate that comment.
Gabe, you were with Delta, were you not? She's dropped off, I guess. Gay Harvey? Okay. Any other comments out there?
I just wondered. Go ahead.
Yeah, Neil, it's George. Just want to tell you that I've finished reading your book, The Wings of Many, and it really brought back a lot of very nice memories, quite a few chuckles while I was going through it. Excellent book, and I hope that every one of our listeners will order that book from you.
Oh, thank you so much, George.
And we need to say, okay, for all the listeners that haven't gotten it, how do you get it?
Okay, thank you, Jill. You can simply order it. Let's see, how do you order the book? I'm so excited about selling that book. I don't know. I feel like a new career has come upon me since I published that book. But we've sold, I think, all of 25 books. And haven't given any of them away yet, but I haven't really promoted the book. And I intend to do that in the coming weeks. And Howard is looking for his share of the of trying to put this thing together. And he was so helpful with me doing this project. He and Alexa Conway, Alexa did a great job of editing, helping us edit the book. And we took stories of Eastern stories from long, long time ago and put them in the book. And we have volume 2 that we're about halfway through. And so if you want to order the book, you can simply EAL or just host at EAL Radio Show. like some of them the folks have done, and just put a donation to the EAL Radio Show, because all the profits go to the EAL Radio Show to keep us online, along with the support of the Retired Eastern Pilots Association. We're here tonight, and hopefully every Monday this coming year. And if you'll order that book, we certainly would appreciate your support. And you'll get a nice copy of about, I don't know, close to 220 pages, I think, of stories that I think you'll really enjoy reading. And perhaps you might want to give them as gifts as well. So Volume 1 is available, and all you have to do is go to EALRadioShow.com host, H-O-S-T, at EALRadioShow.com, and there you can order. Just tell me to send the book to you, and we'll send it right out to you. Be happy to do so. I think you'll enjoy it. And also, the cover of that book is just a brilliant, and matter of fact, I wish I could get that on the air, but you can't see radio, can't see visual radio. But I've got a picture here that's a 24 by 36, I think it is, picture of the cover of that book. It is a beautiful, beautiful cover that was composed, done by Captain Jerry Frost in Atlanta, Georgia. Made a beautiful picture of every aircraft Eastern flew in the air, in formation, over Atlanta-Hartsfield Airport. Beautiful picture, beautiful picture. And if you'd like to order that picture from Jerry, it's available also. A very reasonable price, and he'd be happy to send it out to you. So just send it. Your request for that picture, and I'll put you in touch with Jerry Frost. Just send it at host at EALRadioShow.com, and you'll enjoy seeing all of Eastern's airplane over the Atlanta-Hartsfield Airport. And I thought it was so beautiful, that cover of the book that we are the wings of many, because there are many people that made this book possible, the wings of many. That he did such a brilliant job on producing that cover that I want to sell his picture more than I want to sell our book. But both of them, I think you'll enjoy. So please just address it to host at EALRadioShow.com.
Neil, Cecile here. I've been told, I'm not I don't have a personal Facebook, but I've been told that Facebook is a great way to promote a book. I'm doing some research on another, and I'll share it with you. But they plug in the age group, your preferences, and it immediately goes out to everyone that would like it. That might be a way to really sell your book and get it into the millions.
Wow. Millions.
Yeah.
Gee, what? George, did you hear that, George?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter, but I'm not on Facebook.
Well, LinkedIn, I'm on LinkedIn too, and it really works if you're looking for a job or if you want to go for promotions. But I'm really researching Facebook now, because I don't want anybody knowing when I go to out of town or whatever, not for personal reasons, strictly for business. And I'll let you know how it works out. But Neil, I'll share that with you. I have a gentleman that's going to do my Facebook page for only $50. And then whatever, and then I'll tell you how it works, because I have no knowledge of it. Okay?
All right. Very good. Yeah, I'll take any advice I can get. Al Jenkins, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
How are things in Atlanta? Where were you based? Well, you were based in Atlanta, and you told us where you flew, and I told you that you must have had a C-3 pass. But I don't think I asked you what you did with Eastern, did I?
I started out as a mechanic in the wheel shop in New York. And then I got promoted to the line. And once I got promoted to the line, I went to a lot of different stations. Then I got promoted to a foreman out of Atlanta, and I went to a lot of stations. Then I got promoted to general foreman, and I went to Miami. And from Miami, I went to New York when they had the crisis up there. I'm the one that got all the airplanes out. They gave me a manager's job in LaGuardia. And in the meantime, I used to go out to the desert to store all our airplanes out there for D-check.
Okay. I think, Chuck, you can identify with that, can you? Can't you?
Yeah, sure can. I helped pickle a lot of airplanes before they left. I just happened to see a picture of that the other day of the graveyard out there and the hundreds and hundreds of military planes on one side and the commercial airplanes are on the California side. In fact, we got letters, some of the mechanics, I guess senior mechanics, asking us to go to work for a place, a company called Evergreen.
That's
out in California, they take care of those airplanes.
That's where you were?
You said you were.
Al?
You worked
for
them?
I worked for Eastern. Evergreen tried to hire me, and I would not leave Eastern. They wanted to hire me on spot.
Yeah.
No, I was still there because Eastern folded up, and I left in 89, and it stayed until 91. But I got a letter in the mail. And I talked to some other mechanics. They got letters, too. I don't know how they got our addresses and stuff. And they asked us if we would be interested in coming to work for them. One guy did go out and work for him, and I talked to him later. And he said it was a pretty good job. He says mainly they wanted the senior guys because we could tax the airplanes. And that was one of the things that they wanted.
Right.
Is people knew how to tax the airplanes because that's what they do. Once a month, I think it is, each plane gets a taxi around this oval taxi area to make sure everything works, and they run up the engine, and they bring it back, and they put the pickles all back on them and everything, and the silver stuff over the windows and stuff, and wait for the next taxi thing. But there's hundreds of planes out there. In fact, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Eastern still has about 3 or 4 airplanes out there.
Right. Yeah, I used to go out there and I'd do the run-ups after I sent everybody away, and then I'd have to make a high-speed taxi on their runway.
Yeah, I've only made one high-speed taxi, and that was in an L-1011. Bendix wanted to test a new set of brakes, and I did that out in Miami. We took it all the way up to we got it almost up to takeoff speed, and then they said we pulled the throttles back, and two of us just sat on the brakes. I mean, we busted a couple of tires on it, and they had all these wires running the cockpit area down the center aisles out to the, you know, there's little openings in the airplane up in the passenger section that you can get down into the cargo compartments. A lot of people didn't know that. And they ran wires down through there, and some of them went actually out to the brake area, these little, I guess they're sensors or something. But I was surprised when my lead man, he says, well, Chuck, you're the most experienced taxi guy here. And you go with these guys and do whatever they tell you to do. And they got permission from the tower to run this plane down the runway at takeoff speed. And then we slammed the throttles back and stepped on the brakes. Man, that was we talk about noise on an empty airplane. It just shuddered.
You know what?
Pilot would never abuse an airplane like that.
No. Don't tell me about an A300 that the landing gear was on fire.
Hey, Neil?
Yes, sir.
I got one quick story about that Evergreen out there. We were getting the L-1011. We were taking the engines off and all that. And it was at nighttime. And a rattlesnake came crawling into the hangar. I ran into the office and locked the door with this other guy. He says, why are you locking the door? Snakes don't have hands.
Golly, Pete, great stories tonight, guys. Really great stories. Really enjoy talking to Eastern people and listening to their stories. And, golly, only the EAO radio show brings it to life again every Monday evening. Jim, it's up to you. Carry us home.
There it is, that music again, ladies and gentlemen. Where does the time go? Well, that's our show for tonight, folks. We'll be back with you next week, same time, same station, www.ealradioshow.com. And like one of our popular Eastern commercials, we have to earn our wings every day. And we hope we are doing so as we are here at EAL Radio Show. Next week, we hope you will once again fly Eastern Radio as we bring you more Eastern news, history. Once again, fly again, fly Eastern Radio as we bring you more Eastern news and so on. History and talk with former Eastern employees and friends of Eastern. Be sure to tune in and call in at 7 p.m. Monday evening when flight number 200 and, wow, it's got to be about 214 departs the gate for a new adventure. Be on board for the radio voice of Eastern Airlines, and from all the gang here at our studio and from the rest of the remote locations, we all want to say all together now, good night, Eastern family.
Good night, Eastern.
Good night, Eastern family.
Good night, Eastern family.
Good night, Eastern.
Good night.
Hey.